right, now let's turn, please, to this 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And my text is the 16th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. These statements of our Lord grew out of his example of washing the feet of the apostles. He had been with them at the table. He arose and started with one of his apostles and went right on around, and he washed the feet. An act which was the act of a servant. In dusty Palestine, where people wore sandals, their feet always got dirty. And it was a custom that the feet be washed. And so the slaves came in and washed the feet of the guests. That custom prevails today. In fact, you go into the hotels, you go into the places where travelers rest in the Middle East, and they have a place there to wash your feet. Not only to wash your hands in the basin, but they have another place for you to wash your feet. It's a part of the standard equipment of a washroom. We don't have it here. We wear shoes. We don't wear these sandals. But the Lord Jesus Christ stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. Now, I might say, before I develop the basis of this text, that there are still some church groups that practice what we call feet washing. And they recognize it as a sacrament in the life of the church. We do not recognize it as such. A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ and commanded by him to be observed in the church. We have only two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's table. This example which he set was set between the brethren and among the brethren, but it was not given to the church. And that's the distinguishing qualification of it. Consequently, we have not made feet washing a sacrament in our Protestant churches generally. There's just one or two of the rather sectarian groups that have adopted the practice, and they do it in their churches. But what the Lord Jesus Christ did do at this point was to humble himself in the presence of his disciples. And he said, as I've washed your feet, and I've been willing to stoop down and take the position of a servant in your presence, you ought to be willing to take the position of a servant toward one another. And he emphasized that great text which he gave us in the Sermon on the Mount, that if ye would be chiefest, you should be the servant of all. And if you're going to be exalted, those who would exalt themselves will be abased, and those who will humble themselves will be exalted. And there's a tremendous lesson here in personal humility in relationship to each other, which we should recognize. But out of this came this magnificent statement of our Savior that the servant is not above his master. And if the master will stoop down and wash people's feet, the servant of the Lord should be willing also to stoop down and do such menial tasks. Now, there are three things that are set forth in this passage tonight that I want to point out to you. They're here very clearly. The first one is the identification of the master. If you'll notice, in verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." Now here is a plain, simple declaration as clearly as anything could possibly be, that Jesus is the Master, that Jesus is Lord. We have frequently adduced the various arguments in scriptures to prove the deity of Christ, and we're constantly speaking of his deity, and he claimed to be God, he has the attributes of God, he's worshipped like God, he does the works of God, and we add these arguments up and we say this is proof that Jesus Christ is God. And so we affirm his full and eternal deity, and we confess our faith in the deity of Christ. But do you know, when it comes along to saying that the Jesus Christ is Master, that Jesus Christ is Lord, we don't seem to emphasize that like we ought to. When you join this church, we ask you two questions. And when we had this group join the church the other week, we ask everybody. First, are you saved? And second, do you promise with the grace that Christ will give you that you will seek to serve him and keep his commandments? Will you recognize him as your Master? Will you recognize him as your Lord? First, he's Savior. Second, he's Lord. He has to be Savior because he can be Lord. And if he is Lord, he's also your Savior. The two go together. You can't separate the two so far as the Christian's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. If he is your Savior, and you have found him and believed in him and have been born into his kingdom and know that you're a child of God, then he has become your Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." And here is the Lord Jesus Christ placing himself in this all-important position above his disciples. If language means anything at all, this statement from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ places him above his disciples. He is the Master. They are the servant. And you have in this text the identification on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Master. He is the Master. And you find him running through the New Testament. He's the Master in the storm. He's the Master on the sea. The winds and the waves obey his will. He's the Master in all the affairs that he had anything to deal with. He rose above the creation. He rises above the whole human race. He rises above. He's the second Adam. He's come to fulfill the purposes of the first Adam who fell into sin. And he's the Master. And ye do well when you recognize me as Master. And if you don't recognize me as Master, then you do not do well. If you're going to recognize someone else as Master in your life, ye do not do well. I am the only Master. I am the only Lord. And if you recognize me, then you're doing that which will be pleasing unto the one who sent me. Now, as I move on down, I'm going to show you this. The Father sends the Son, and the Son sends his servants, and the servants speak for the Son. And I'll show you this sequence as you have it here in this beautiful passage. But the first thing that we must understand above everything else, there must be no doubt as to who the Master is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, at this point you have a glorious example of the self-disclosure of the Son of God. He is disclosing to his disciples the position which he knows he occupies. The position which he is calling upon his disciples to recognize. Ye say well. Now, young man, if you'll stop at that text tonight and just stop there, you'll never have any more trouble as long as you live. If you'll just recognize Jesus Christ as Master, whatever he says goes. Whatever he commands us to do, we do. If you'll just recognize the one who is really and properly in the position of authority over you, you'll forever be all right. And the sooner you recognize
that Jesus Christ is master in your life, the happier you're going to be. And we'll come to that as we come to our third point. You know what I like about this Bible, beloved? It's so plain, it's so clear, it's so direct, it's so specific that you can't possibly be mistaken. Jesus Christ had washed his disciples' feet. He rose up and said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and that's the truth. Ye say, well, and so I am. Here I am." This stupendous position in which he placed himself. The magnificent position which he occupies in his relationship to those whom he has saved and redeemed. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, Jesus Christ must be the master in his own house. Jesus Christ must be the master in his own church. And Jesus Christ must be the master in your own life. He must be the one to whom you look in authority and for guidance. All right, now let's look at the second great thing that's pointed out in this passage. Our Savior says in verse 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him." In this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ puts the servant where he belongs. He puts us under him, and he intends for us to stay under him. The servant is not greater than his Lord. The servant is to take his position because he is under his Lord. Don't you attempt to take the position of master. Never attempt to take the position of master. You be satisfied with the position of servant. You stay there. You remain there. Don't you move out of that position. Don't say, "Well, now I think maybe I should do this." Beloved, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and the servant must keep his position underneath his Lord. That means that the master has under him servants who will carry out his commandments. Now, beloved, I don't want you to misunderstand me, but the word used here is doulos, and it's the word that meant slave in the Roman Empire. And I want to say to you that there is one place on this earth where you can give blind obedience. That is only to Jesus Christ. You can't do it to anybody else. You can't do it to any authority on the face of this earth. But when Jesus Christ is your master, he expects you to occupy the position under him, and he expects you to recognize that as your Lord, he is the one who sets forth the things that you are to believe and the things which you are to do. Do you know why we have a confession of faith? Do you know why we have a summary of our doctrine in what we call our catechism? In order that we might know what the Master wants us to believe. Did you know that I accept the Bible as the Word of God because my Master says it is, and my Master has told us that the heavens would pass away and the earth itself would be wound up like a scroll, but that his Word would never pass away? And I accept the Bible tonight and everything this Bible teaches from beginning to end because my Master has said that I should do it. The great and the final evidence upon which you and I base our faith in the Word of God is the teaching of our Master concerning our faith. You didn't manufacture the doctrines of redemption, did you? Did you figure out the meaning of the cross? Is that something that you conjured up and you decided was a nice thing to accept? No, beloved. Are you the people who put together this message which we call the good news, and you go forth and you preach it? Do you mean to say that you had something to do with the manufacture of the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, beloved, you had nothing to do with it. The entire gospel, in all of its glory and all of the wisdom of God that's contained in this message of eternal redemption, has been handed down from the master to the servant. The revelation which we have came from the Lord of glory, and he put it in our hands. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to rejoice in it. And the master wants you to be in the position that when he gives you something, you will accept it from his hand. And you will honor it because it came from him. We're in a position of being the servant, and here's the master. We're in the position of being the son, and here's the Lord of glory. Do you know Jesus Christ wants us to sustain the proper relationship to him? He wants us to be conscious of that relationship which we sustain to him at all times and throughout all the days of our lives. We believe the gospel because God gave it to us. And the Lord of glory is our master. And he's the one who hath given unto us this message of everlasting life. But not only does he say the servant is not above his master, the servant hasn't manufactured the gospel, the master gave us the gospel. The servant hadn't had anything to do with his deliverance from sin. It's the Lord that delivered us from sin and gave unto us this gospel of redemption. But beloved, as the servants, we must do the master's bidding. Not only do we believe what he told us, but we absolutely are determined that we shall do what he has asked us to do. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Now notice this next verse. Look, if you will, please, at this next verse. And he says here in verse 14, if I then be your Lord and Master, having washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ was set for the benefit of his servants. The Lord didn't give his example for the benefit of those who hated him. He gave his example for the benefit of those who loved him. The Lord didn't set his example for the benefit of those who cursed him and repudiated him. He set his example for the benefit of those who desired to serve him. And we talk about following Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ turned to his disciples and says, follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. And you follow him as your Lord, and he'll make out of you something. The master will take his servant, and he'll use that servant, and he'll make out of that servant the instrument that he desires to use here upon this earth. Beloved, it is the Lord God of glory that takes you in your position, and when you will believe what he tells you, and when he will obey what he commands, he will take you as a servant, and he will mold you. He will develop you. He will use you. He will make you the kind of an instrument he desires in his service down here on the earth. Oh, we've heard that blessed hymn and we sing it. It's a good Protestant hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Oh, you just obey the Lord Jesus because he is the master. Now, beloved, let's stop there just a moment or two.
Do you know that everything that Jesus has taught us in the Bible, he expects you to understand and to know? Do you know that every command that he's given to his people, he expects you to understand and to know? And that's why in the Protestant church, we have put the tremendous emphasis upon the people understanding, having the Bible, reading the Bible, learning the Bible, studying the Bible, coming to churches where the Bible is being preached. And your responsibility as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is to know his word from beginning to end. You need to understand all that the Son has been pleased to reveal unto us in order that we might better serve him and serve him in an acceptable manner. Now this comes home, of course, to the great responsibility of taking out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. And the emphasis of this passage is that the master sends the servant to do his work for him. And we who are the servants of the Son of God are to do the work of the Lord in accordance with his commandments and his bidding. And we're seeking to carry on a ministry in this place in accordance with the commands that we find in the Word of God. And it's because of our allegiance to these commandments that we're where we are today. That's all. We're exactly in the position we find ourselves in the Christian world tonight because we have sought to be servants and to recognize the Master. And in doing so, we have obeyed his commandments. The Christian life is a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Now this brings me face to face with this tremendous commission that our Savior gave. It was the last commission that he gave. And I can say to the members of this church tonight that as your pastor has been here all these years and as he looks ahead to the future, that on my own heart there's this great burden. It is a tremendous burden for the youth and for those who are going to rise up and come along. I am anxious. I am so anxious that we will see young men rise up who will say, "The Lord is my master, and he has commanded that we preach this gospel. I will preach it. He has commanded that we shall take it to the ends of the earth. I will go with this gospel to the ends of the earth. Where he leads me, I'll follow. What he asks me to do, I will do it." And it's this tremendous burden that we have that in the hearts of young men, in the hearts of young women, they will catch the clear vision of the fact that the Son of God is Master. He's Lord, and we're his servants. And the great commission which is given to us is that we go out and preach the gospel and build Christian churches where his word can be faithfully preached, where his sacraments can be observed, and where his people can be brought into the fellowship and the discipline that is ours because we belong to the people of God. "Ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say well, for so I am." Now, if you'll notice in this passage, he turns on, and notice, please, verse 20, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Jesus Christ says, "I have identified my cause with my servants. I have given my cause to my servants." And in that marvelous verse, he says, "He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me." And when you go preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are presenting that gospel and people receive it, they're receiving a message from a messenger that the Lord has sent. And young people, we want you to get a call from the Lord.
We want you to get a vision from the Lord. We want you to get some understanding of what it means to spend all your years being a servant of the Master and carrying out His final commission to His people and to His church.
Well, that's brought us two of the things that I've mentioned. We've identified the master. We've seen the position of the servant. Now, will you please look at verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Do you know the road to happiness in your life? It's the road of service of Jesus Christ. If you want to be happy, you just start serving Him. And if you know these things, here's the master. Don't try to take his place. Here's the servant. Occupy your place. Recognize how the master deals with you, how he speaks to you, how he issues these commandments to you. You occupy the place which he has put you in as his servant. And he said, if ye know these things, happy are ye. And the happiest people on the face of this earth are those who are the servants of Jesus Christ. You are happy. Oh, the trials, oh, the troubles, oh, the problems, oh, the devil. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us this marvelous statement about himself being Lord in the presence of a circumstance in which Judas is being identified for the first time? The author of this gospel, John, says that the devil put it into the heart of Judas to betray. And then Jesus himself proceeded to indicate that they were all clean, but not all. And Jesus Christ proceeds then to identify Judas Iscariot. And in this process, in these circumstances, Jesus Christ did something which you can think about and think about and think about, and you'll never get the full answer to it until we get to heaven. He washed the feet of the traitor and his betrayer. Think of it. He washed the feet of Judas, knowing that Judas would betray him into the hands of Satan. I can't attempt to fathom the mystery of it, but he did it. Now, young people, do you want to be happy? Young men, do you want to have a life of great joy and great service? Do you want to have it? Here's the master. You're the servant. Listen to his commandments and give your life in his service and do what he commands you to do. And if you know these things, you'll be happy. Beloved, when you get out of the position of being a servant, and you attempt yourself to be some kind of a master, when you get out of the position of being a servant, and you say, I don't like this position, I'm not going to listen to Jesus Christ anymore, I'll do this thing better myself, the moment you go over into that area, you run into misery, to disappointment, to disillusionment, and to tragedy. My friend, you don't know enough to run your own life. You don't know enough, and you don't have the power to keep your own self. If you want to have your life in an order and in a purpose and in a plan, you be the servant and let the master direct that life, and you'll be happy because he has the purpose and the plan for your life and your path. You'll never find it any other way than just being a servant of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, it's the most beautiful thing to know that there is a master who has the great blueprint
and the plans of it all. It's the most beautiful thing to have a master who knows everything from beginning to end. It's the most beautiful thing to put your soul and the keeping of your destiny in the hands of Him whom God raised from the dead. And He says, I am Master and Lord. And ye say, well. Beloved, just to put your life in the hands of the Son of God. Just to put your years under the direction of the Son of God. Just to take all you have and say, Lord, ye are my Master.
My, I could develop this at some length. I can't go any further tonight. But you ladies, Jesus Christ is above your husbands. You men, Jesus Christ is above your wives. You sons and daughters, Jesus Christ is above your parents. But if you will see Jesus Christ where He is as Master and Lord of all, your relationship to your family, to your wives, to your husbands, to your children, will be the relationship of beauty and order. And Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye. You know why some of you people are so miserable? You're trying to serve the world instead of serving Jesus Christ. You know why some of you people are so perplexed and so puzzled? You have one foot in the world and the other foot in the church, and you're torn and you're twisted, and you don't know exactly where you're going or what it's all about, and so you can't be happy. The happiness of which the Lord speaks is a happiness which comes from knowing that you're in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's the Master, and you're the servant. Will you serve Him? Will you obey Him? Will you take His gospel to the ends of the earth? Will you support the ministries that are seeking to exalt the commandments of God among the people of God, that we might be pleasing to the Savior of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ? So here it is, the identification of the Master, the place of the servant, under the Master, and the happiness of the servant as he receives the blessings of the Master upon him. No wonder the Apostle Paul, when he came to the close of his earthly ministry and he talked to young Timothy, and he said he longed to see those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of these same great relationships. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You are to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Let's be a faithful one, and let's be a good one. And if you know these things, you'll be happy. Oh, I'm so happy in the service of the King. That's the way we say it. And it's amazing that when you serve Him, you seem to have greater capacity and greater capacity and greater capacity, and you seem to get great joy in doing these things which you believe are honoring your Lord and your Master. My, I wish we would all be the right kind of servants in these last days to the Son of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this beautiful message, and we thank Thee that the Lord put these things here so clearly that we couldn't possibly misunderstand them. But we thank Thee that He identified Himself. Ye call Me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. And we know there's no one else who stands above us. There's no one else to whom we shall give an account. There's no one else in whose service we desire to live. God bless this message to our hearts. May we go from this church tonight to serve the Lord with all our hearts. May we go from this church tonight praying that God will raise up the preachers and the ministers and the missionaries and give to our young people a vision of spending their years serving Jesus Christ upon this blessed ministry of the gospel. God bless tonight this message for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, hymn number 194. 194.